إخوة في الله، درس جديد من دروسنا في باب القواعد الفقهية. وبعد أن دخلنا مدخلا واسعا في بعض الأصول العلمية للقواعد الفقهية وما يتصل بها، كان لابد من البدء بذكر هذه القواعد وشرحها.
بسم الله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، the Sheikh started by saying that started by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salutation upon His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Sheikh mentioned concerning that all brothers concerning that we have started this lesson concerning discussing these qawaid al-fiqhiyya, and the last lesson before that we had mentioned some of like things with the introduction concerning some of these principles, and now we'll start to discuss in more detail concerning these qawaid al-fiqhiyya.
وأول قاعدة بل أهم قاعدة هي قاعدة المصالح والمفاسد. فيقول الشيخ ابن سعدي رحمه الله في ذكر هذه القاعدة: الشرع لا يأمر إلا بما مصلحته خالصة أو راجحة، ولا ينهى إلا عما مفسدته خالصة أو راجحة. الشرع لا يأمر إلا بالمصلحة، وهذه المصلحة إما خالصة أو راجحة. إما خالصة يعني أنها مصلحة 100%، أو أن تكون راجحة يعني ممكن أن تكون 70% أو 80%، وقد يكون فيها شيء من المفسدة أو شيء من ما هو أقل من ذلك، لكن لكون المصلحة أكثر فتكون أرجح. وكذلك المفسدة، فإن الشرع إنما ينهى عما مفسدته خالصة أو راجحة، مفسدته 100% مفاسد، أو أنها راجحة المفاسد، قد تكون 70% 80%، قد يكون فيها شيء من المصلحة، لكن غلبت المفسدة تجعلها واقعة تحت دائرة النهي.
And then Sheikh mentioned concerning as for these qawaid, these principles, that of the most important of these, as the Sheikh Abdul Rahman Asari had mentioned, that of the most important of these qawaid is concerning al-masalih, concerning Islam, that is there to bring about those things which is beneficial, and concerning those things which is harmful, to prevent those things which is harmful. So Sheikh mentioned, meaning Sheikh Abdul Rahman Asari somewhat mentioned, that as for the Sharia, Islamic law, that its purpose is to invite or to try to bring about those things which is beneficial, and either those things which is of benefit, that either they are something which is khalis, which is complete benefit, meaning like its ratio will be like 100%, or second, it will try to bring about those things of masale, of benefit, which is of something which is of a more greater benefit, meaning that it will be something that moves about 70 or 80% concerning the benefit that is attached to it. But you might find that this degree, that you might find yet some degree of evil that's attached to it, but the majority would be those things which are of benefit. And likewise, the Sharia, Islamic law, that its intent also is to forbid and to prevent all things that is of evil and harm. And either these things of evil, it is something which is pure evil, meaning of a much greater percentage, or it will be something which is, its percentage is also is of also something which is, it has more evil that's attached. But sometimes with this degree of benefit that's attached, there still might be, or some evil that may be attached, there may be some degree, a small degree of evil, that is, a small degree of benefit that is present. But the majority will be evil.
وهذه القاعدة من القواعد التي هي محل إجماع بين سائر العلماء، موضع إجماع، لم يخالف في اعتبار هذه القاعدة أحد من أهل العلم، بل إن كثيرا من العلماء اعتبر أن الشريعة كلها، الدين، الكتاب والسنة والأمر والنهي، أن كل ذلك راجع إلى هذه القاعدة. وذكرنا أن العلامة الشيخ الإمام العز بن عبد السلام بنى كتابه قواعد الأحكام على مصالح الأنام على هذه القاعدة، فرد إليها وأرجع إليها كل قواعد الشريعة الفقهية، كل قواعد الشريعة الفقهية رجعها وردها إلى هذه القاعدة. هذا يدل على مكانتها ومنزلتها وأن الدين كله قائم عليها.
The Sheikh also commented by adding by saying, as for this particular principle concerning Islam is there to bring about those things which is benefit and to remove those things which is of evil, that you find that regarding this principle, that you find that the ulama regarding this principle, that they all are in agreement that regarding this principle, that, and there is no one that is known that I'll go against this that is this principle. So you find that ulama have mentioned, as many of the ulama have mentioned, that this principle per se, that Islam, it is built upon this, and that all the qawaid of Islam, that it goes back, it returns back to this particular principle concerning all those things regarding things that we are commanded to do and things that we are forbidden, and also concerning Islam as a religion, that it is all built upon this principle, and that most of the principles, the qawaid of Islam, qawaid of Islam, that they refer back to this main principle concerning encouraging those things which is of benefit and removing those things which is harmful, that all of the principles of Islam, it returns back to this. And the Shaykh, as we have mentioned previously, that some of the ulama have mentioned, such as is Ibn Abd al-Salam, that I've mentioned concerning his book, that he discussed concerning Qawaid al-Kubra, that all of the Islamic law and Islamic legislation, it goes back to these primary principles. Everything of Islam, it returns back to this principle itself. So he shows concerning this principle, it has a place of, it has a place in Islam, and it has a place in Islam and a place of importance.
وأدلة هذه القاعدة كثيرة وكثيرة جدا، لكن أهمها وأصرحها وأجمعها قول الله تبارك وتعالى في سورة النحل: إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي. إن الله تعالى فيما يأمر به يأمر بالعدل فلا ظلم، ويأمر بالإحسان فلا نكران ولا منكر، ويأمر بإيتاء ذي القربى فلا قطيعة ولا ظلم، وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي، وينهى عن كل ما فيه فحش وفحشاء وارتكاب للخبائث من الأمور والمنكرات والبغي والتعدي. الدين قائم على تحقيق تلك المصالح ودفع هذه المفاسد.
Then the Sheikh mentioned concerning after this principle and the evidence to prove this principle, that the Sheikh mentioned that there are many evidence to prove this, and there are many in great in number, but we mentioned just some of the more important ones. We mentioned that some of them, and the ones that are somewhat straight to the point, and it is asked for the dalil to prove this point is in the Surah An-Nahl. In Surah An-Nahl, concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statement in English rendering, in Allah Ya'mur, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Allah Ya'mur bil adl, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourage justice, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourage justice, and in Allah Ya'mur kum bil adl wal ihsan, and also ihsan, things of goodness. So we're encouraged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should fulfill those things which is adl, meaning justice. So anything that includes justice, that we are encouraged to fulfill these things, and things of dhulm, we are forbidden. And also ihsan, that a person, he tries to do those things which is of benefit and good, and also that the person, that he retain family ties. And he showed that Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he forbids that the person, that he should try to break and to sever family relationship. يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid fahsha, anything that contains any degree of evil, and thing which is foul, and thing which is not of benefit. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he forbid these things. So things of oppression, the person doing thing which is vile, and all of these things, it is forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh, he mentions that that concerning Islam, it is built concerning this principle, where it is to try to bring about those things which is benefit, and to put to do away with those things which is which are evil.
وأيضا من الأدلة على هذه القاعدة قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. فتكميل وتتميم مكارم الأخلاق يقتضي النقض والرد لسيئها ولفاسدها. وفي رواية أخرى قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إنما بعثت لأتمم صالح الأخلاق، فيقابل ما كان من الأمور صالحا يقابله ما كان منها فاسدا. وهكذا الشرع كله جاء بتحقيق المصالح وبرد المفاسد.
إذن شيخ mentions حفظ الله concerning also from amongst those دليل evidence, the proof concerning this principle of Islam, of the Qawaid of trying to bring about those things which is benefit and to remove those things which are harmful, of these adilla, of the evidence to prove this, is the statement of the Prophet alayhi salam, where the hadith have mentioned, the meaning of the hadith, that the Prophet alayhi salam have stated in the hadith that indeed I was sent, that I was sent to perfect the affairs of the person's akhlaq, the person's conduct and behavior. So he was sent to perfect the akhlaq. And the Shaykh mentioned that from this he showed that it replaces Islam. The Prophet ﷺ came to replace concerning evil mannerism, bad conduct, and to replace it with the akhlaq, which is of benefit and good. And also there are some of the narration concerning this hadith where it mentioned the Prophet ﷺ said that he came to perfect concerning salih al-akhlaq, concerning good conduct and behavior. So this will go in contrary to conduct which is evil and conduct which is unbefitting. So this is of the purpose behind the Sharia. The coming of the Sharia is to establish those things which is beneficial and to remove those things that are harmful.
ومن الأدلة أيضا على هذه القاعدة قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في الحديث المروي في الصحيحين عن أبي هريرة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إنما مثلي ومثل الأنبياء قبلي كمثل رجل بنى دارا إلا موضع لبنة فجعل الناس يطوفون في هذه الدار فيقولون ما أحسن هذا لولا موضع اللبنة فأنا تلك اللبنة. يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام
the Shaykh mentioned also from amongst these delil to prove this principle is also the hadith that is collected by Bukhari Muslim Muttafaqun Alayh, that is narrated on Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, where the hadith is stated, the meaning of which is that the Prophet alayhi salam stated by saying that as for my example and that of the Prophet that came before is that of a person, a man who builds a house, and the house is somewhat very beautiful and a beautiful house, but when the people they go by the house, that they notice that there's like a block that is not there, so it's somewhat incomplete. Incomplete. So he says that this is after the hadith. As the people they circle it out and they see that there's a spot that is incomplete.
يقولون ما أجمل هذا أو ما أحسن هذا لولا موضع اللبنة. موضع النقص.
So that generally the building is perfect and very well done, except there's a deficiency in the building where there's one spot or one area that is incomplete in the building.
فأنا تلك اللبنة.
So it's this place that is incomplete, that is not complete. He says, I am that person. I am the one who is the incompletion of that spot.
هذا الحديث يبين فيه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بالمثل. والمثل من الأساليب اللغوية التي تقرب المقصود وتفهم الناس مراد القائل. قال: إنما مثلي ومثل الأنبياء من قبلي، يعني حالي مع الأنبياء السابقين، كمثل رجل بنى دارا. هؤلاء الأنبياء كأنهم رجل بنى دارا، وهذه الدار كانت دارا كبيرة، وترك منها موضع لبنة فقط، حفرة أو فراغ في أحد جدران هذا البيت، فجعل الناس يطوفون في هذه الدار ينظرون إليها ويتأملونها فتعجبهم، لكن يقولون هذا نقص، هذه الدار كاملة وحسنة وجميلة لكن هذا نقص. يقولون: ما أحسن هذه الدار لولا موضع اللبنة. فقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: أنا موضع اللبنة. وهذا الحديث يفسره الحديث الآخر: إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. فالأنبياء أتوا بمكارم الأخلاق، لكن الله عز وجل اختص نبيه محمدا عليه الصلاة والسلام لأن رسالته الخاتمة ودينه آخر الأديان، وهو آخر الأنبياء وختمهم صلى الله عليه وسلم، اختصه ببعض الأخلاق والعقائد والأحكام التي لم تكن عند الأنبياء السابقين، فجاء ليكمل ما بدأوا وليجمل ما قد يكون نقص من ما دعوا إليه الناس والأتباع.
Then the Sheikh said, as for this evidence that is mentioned concerning, he gave a brief explanation to the hadith. The Sheikh mentioned the Prophet gave, like, in this hadith, he gave the example of a story or a similitude type of example, and this is of the way which is of a linguistic way of conveying a message, and that, you know, so as the person is able to grasp the message and the intent of what is being said. So the Prophet gave an example concerning that himself compared with other prophets, the prophets that came before. That this person, a man, and this man, he represents like all of the prophets who came before. So this man decided to build or have built a building. And the building, it is a very beautiful building, a very big building. And when the people, they start to move about, except that the building, there's a place that is not finished. A place of the building which is not finished. So when the people, they came by and they passed by and they saw the building, they said, you know, they were amazed with this building. So they said, what a beautiful building, except there's this particular area that is incomplete, and this place that is deficient in this building. The Prophet mentioned that he is the one who is that the one who is the he is the one who represents that the place that is deficient in that building. But generally, the building is something which is beautiful, except for this area which is incomplete. Then he said that the Sheikh mentioned that as for the hadith that was mentioned before, it also explained this hadith where the Prophet mentioned that he was sent to perfect concerning affairs of akhlaq. And the prophets, all the prophets and messengers, that they came to teach the people good akhlaq. But he, alayhi salam, our Prophet, alayhi salam, that he was giving something, he was distinguishing certain things concerning akhlaq, where he certain thing was giving to him was more particular with him, that he came to perfect things, even though all other prophets, they came with good akhlaq. And also that due to the fact that he was the last of the prophets, and is the last of the religion, that he was giving something additional to what previous prophets were given. So all of them came with good akhlaq, but he was giving something, a little addition to what was given before. So that deficiency, he represents that deficiency, and he came to perfect it.
وكما قلنا فإن هذه المصالح التي يأمر بها الشرع نوعان، كما أن تلك المفاسد التي ينهى عنها الشرع نوعان. فالمصالح إما خالصة وإما راجحة، والمفاسد أيضا التي ينهى عنها الشرع إما خالصة وإما راجحة. ونضرب على ذلك أمثلة. مثال المصالح الخالصة الصرفة التي كلها حق وكلها مصلحة وليس فيها أي نوع من النقص، أعظم شيء أمر الله تعالى به وهو توحيد الله وعبادته. فهذا أعظم ما أمر الله تعالى به، الإيمان بالله، توحيد الله، والإخلاص في عبادة الله. هذه كلها مصالح خالصة لا نقص فيها ولا خلل يعتريها، وهي مقصودة لذاتها، ليست مقصودة لغيرها أو تبعا لغيرها، بل هي مقصودة لذاتها، بل هي سبب خلق الجن والإنس أجمعين، كما قال تعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون.
And then Sheikh mentioned concerning this same principle that we're discussing, that concerning al-masalih, concerning those things which is of benefit, that there are two types. So the masalih, that we have the things of benefit that we have been encouraged to fulfill, they fall into two categories. And likewise, those things of evil that we have been forbidden, also they fall into two types, or two categories. As for these masalih, of these things of benefit that we are encouraged to fulfill, then there are types, the two types they fall into is first khalisa, those which is, we said, 100% pure. It's 100% pure and good. And the other one is raji, which is like majority, the majority. As for the Nishayk, he mentioned, we are concerning these, and also same is for the things of evil, that either it is something of two types, either this which is pure evil, or it is majority evil. As for the example, an example, the Shaykh has mentioned that he will give an example of something that is beneficial, of pure benefit, 100% benefit, where from all angles it's our benefit. It's from all angles benefit, and its purpose is only to bring about those things which is of benefit. And where at this benefit there is no deficiency that is attached to it, no deficiency attached to it. And of this example, of the thing which the Shaykh mentioned, that of the greatest thing, of the greatest thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have commanded us to fulfill is a tawheed. The greatest thing that we have commanded to fulfill of benefit, which is pure benefit, is affairs of tawheed. But this would include concerning iman, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also having tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also having ikhlas to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in carrying out acts of ibadah, worship. So there's no evil attached to this, and that these things, that they are meant for their own purpose. These things, they are meant for their own purpose. Then it says, Shaykh mentioned that even more so, that these things that were mentioned of Tawheed, that and its benefit, that it is the purpose of the existence of man and jinn. That man and jinn were created to carry out, to fulfill this purpose. And to prove of this point is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the English mention, ma khalaqtul jinn, that we have not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have not created man and jinn except to worship him. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not seek from them any form of sustenance. So al-ayah. So this is the purpose and the intent behind the creation of man and jinn. Tafaddal Shaykh.
هذه مصلحة خالصة أمر الله تعالى بها، يقابلها مفسدة خالصة نهى الله تعالى عنها. ما عكس التوحيد؟ الشرك. فمن أعظم، بل أعظم المفاسد التي نهى الله تعالى عنها الشرك بالله عز وجل، فهو أكبر الكبائر وأعظم الذنوب وأشد الآثام، حتى قال الله تبارك وتعالى: إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك. كل هذه الآيات ومعها أحاديث، سئل رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام: أي الذنب أعظم؟ قال: الشرك بالله. وعندما ذكر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام الموبقات، السبع الموبقات، ما معنى السبع الموبقات؟ الموبقات هي الذنوب العظيمة التي توبق أصحابها في نار جهنم، توبقهم أي تدخلهم وتجرجرهم والعياذ بالله. سبع الموبقات، فكانت الموبقة الكبرى الشرك بالله، الشرك بالله. لذلك فعندما نهى الشرع الحكيم عن الشرك كان نهيه عن الشرك نهيا خالصا نهيا صرفا، فليس في الشرك أي مصلحة، ليس في الشرك أي مصلحة. لذلك بعض الناس قد يتوهمون أن مصالحهم الدنيوية قد تأتي إليهم بسبب الشرك. ليس هذا هو المقصود من المصالح، لأن هذه مصلحة غير محققة ولا بركة فيها ولا خير بها، ولكن المصلحة المحققة التي فيها الخير كله والهدى كله والنور كله هي التوحيد، وما يخالفها فهو الظلم وظلام، وهو الشرك بالله تعالى. وإن توهم بعض الضعفاء ومرضى القلوب أن في ذلك شيئا من المصلحة، لكنه في حقيقة أمره ليس فيه إلا الضرر والفساد والإفساد عياذا بالله.
Then Sheikh continued by mentioning this principle concerning that as for these masale al-khalis, as for the masale, these benefits, which is pure benefit, what is opposite this, what goes in opposite to this, is shar, evil, which is khalis, shar, evil, which is pure evil. And then Sheikh mentioned concerning, as mentioned concerning of the things, the most greatest of the masale is tawheed. And its opposite, the thing that goes in opposite to tawheed is ashirk billah, is a person has pride with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's partner. And the Shaykh mentioned that concerning shirk, it's the worst of evils, it's the worst of evil and the most greatest thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden upon us. And it's the worst of sin, and it's the worst of dhunub, and it is the biggest of the kabahir, the greatest of sins. And to prove this point, concerning all the evils attached to ashirk, Allah subhanahu mentioned in his book, the Englishman in Allah, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive, in Allah, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive those who ascribe with him partners. So it shows that shirk is something of great evil. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in his book, where he mentioned in Surah Al-Luqman, that indeed shirk is the worst of sin, that indeed the worst of injustice, it is a shirk. And also Allah mentioned in his book, where he mentioned that in Ashraq, in that if you were to fall into shirk, and address the Prophet Islam, that if you were to fall into shirk, then all your acts will be nullified, all your action will come to no use. And then also the Shaykh also said the Prophet from the hadith of the Messenger alayhi salam that shows the evil of shirk, where the Prophet alayhi salam was asked regarding which sin is the greatest, which is the worst of sin, and he mentions that it is to ascribe with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala partners. And also from the hadith of Messenger alayhi salam, where the Prophet has said in the hadith concerning, we identified concerning that the seven most evil sins, the seven most evil destructive sins. And the Shaykh mentioned concerning the destructive sin is that the thing, it leads the person to the hellfire, it leads one to the hellfire. And the most of these most evil destructive sin, that of this, the first of this is to ascribe with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala partners, to fall into shirk. So the most greatest of those evil sins, and they'll say the evil sin is ascribing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala partners. So the Shaykh mentioned that concern that prohibition concerning shirk is something which is complete and pure, complete forbiddance in falling into any aspect of shirk. And then the Shaykh also added that concern that there's no benefit attached to shirk, there's no benefit at all that is attached to shirk. And that you might find, unfortunately you might find that some of the people in their misunderstanding, that they might believe that there are certain benefits that can be gained from dunya affairs, concerning worldly affairs, if the person fall into shirk. And the shirk added that, you know, there is no such thing, that there is no benefit that would be gained when a person might believe doing certain things of shirk will allow him to gain certain benefit of the dunya, but there is no such benefit, as there is no masala, there is no benefit attached to falling into a shirk. So shirk, everything attached to it is evil, and no benefit is attached. But the nur, the light, is from Islam, and the things that of the masala, the benefit Islam encourages, which is pure, that benefit comes from them. So they think that due to their weakness in iman and weak heart, that they claim that if the person wish to achieve certain things of the dunya, then he may have to do certain things of falling to certain aspect of shirk, but then there is no benefit that is attached to this. تفضل شيخ.
فهذان مثلان متقابلان، مصلحة خالصة وهي التوحيد والإيمان، ومفسدة خالصة وهي الشرك والكفران. والآن عندنا نوع آخر وهو ما كان راجحا وإن لم يكن خالصا. الراجح هو الأكثر، الخالص والكامل. فعندنا من المصالح التي أمر بها الشرع ما كانت مصلحته أرجح وإن كان فيه بعض المفاسد، وعندنا من المفاسد التي نهى عنها الشرع ما كانت مفسدته أرجح وإن كان فيه بعض المصالح. نضرب مثالا على ما كان راجح المصلحة مما أمر الله تعالى به لرجحان مصلحته، الجهاد في سبيل الله. ماذا يقول الله تبارك وتعالى؟ كتب عليكم القتال وهو كره لكم. لماذا هو كره لنا؟ لأنه فيه يعني أحيانا الموت، فيه الكسر، فيه العجز، فيه مفارقة الأهل، هذه يعني قد تكون بعض المفاسد، لكن المصالح أكثر. فلذلك أمر الله تبارك وتعالى بالجهاد وحض على الجهاد في سبيل الله لأن مصلحته أرجح، لكن لهذا ضوابط وشروط نبينها بعد الترجمة.
Then Sheikh mentioned concern that we have mentioned or given a few examples concerning those masala that is pure 100%, and this is concerning those masala, those benefits, which is things concerning tawheed wal iman, and also concerning examples regarding those things of evil which is pure, complete 100% evil, which is ashirk that have been forbidden, and also kufran. And also now the Sheikh mentioned, now we'll go into now the second area concerning the second degree of which is those things of masala wal mafasid, those things of benefit and evil, that is raja, which is in the majority, is more in the majority. And the Shaykh mentioned again that concerning those things of masale, that is somewhat khalis, he said those things which is pure, complete, 100%. Those one which is, then as for these one which is the raja, the one which is the most, in most cases, that we find the sharia, that sometimes it may command us to do something, and the masale in it is, in most cases, will be of the majority. But there may be some evil attached to it. There may be some degree of evil that's attached to it, and likewise the Sharia in certain cases that it may forbid certain things concerning evil, but there is some, the most of it will be things of evil, but there may be certain benefit that is linked with it. Then Shaykh mentioned, as for some of the examples of this, give an example of these concerning those masala, which is of the majority benefit, is concerning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have commanded us as Muslims, have commanded concerning jihad fi sabili, that concerning making jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to prove this, but there may be certain evil that's attached to it, right? To prove this, Allah mentioned that we have written upon you jihad to make jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though it may be disliked to you, even though it may be disliked to you. And the Shaykh mentioned that this dislike, it carries a degree of dislike to the person. He has to separate from his family. The person might not. So there's some degree of dislike that may be attached to it, but the benefit is greater. So the benefit attached to jihad is much greater, but there's some small degree of dislike that may be attached to it. So still yet though, we are commanded to carry out jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of the majority of benefit that's attached to it, but also there is this jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's shurut and there's guidelines that is mentioned in Islam, and we'll explain further regarding this, me and the Shaykh.
وعندما نذكر الجهاد في سبيل الله والقتال في سبيل الله، نتذكر أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال: وذروة الإسلام الجهاد في سبيل الله. فالإسلام لا شك ولا ريب فيه أركان وفيه واجبات، الجهاد من واجبات الإسلام وإن كان ليس من أركانه. وقد ورد عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه لما قال: بني الإسلام على خمس: شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله، وإقام الصلاة، وإيتاء الزكاة، وصوم رمضان، وحج البيت، من استطاع إليه سبيلا قام إليه رجل. قال: يا ابن عمر، والجهاد؟ قال: الجهاد حسن، لكن هكذا قال رسول الله. الجهاد حسن لكن هكذا قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فنحن عندما نذكر الجهاد لا نستحي ولا نضعف ولا نجبن ولا نتوارى ولا ننكسر، بل نذكر الجهاد كحكم إسلامي شرعي له ضوابطه. من لم يفهم ضوابط الإسلام أساء، ومن أنكر أن في الإسلام جهادا أساء. والحق أن في الإسلام جهادا وأن له ضوابط وشروطا.
And then Sheikh Hafizullah, he mentioned regarding now giving some of the more guidelines regarding jihad in Islam, that concerning jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Sheikh said that it reminds us concerning the hadith of the Messenger, the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salam, where he mentioned concerning that, like the pinnacle of Islam is jihad fi sabilillah, is concerning jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And jihad, regarding jihad in Islam, that there's condition that's attached to it. Also there's things of wajibat, that there's thing which is of the compulsory component of jihad. So there's jihad as a framework to it, and principles. And also in the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, we are mentioning concerning that Islam, it is that's the Ibn Umar, going back to the Prophet alayhi salam, the hadith of Prophet alayhi salam, where he says that Islam, it is built upon five pillars. The mention concerning shahada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the message is one, and that salat, az-zakat, wasawm, and al-hajj. Then a person, when he heard the hadith of Ibn Umar, a person stand, a man, he stand, and he says, what jihad and jihad? So the person asked concerning and jihad. Then Umar mentioned concerning jihad hasan, that jihad is something which is good. But this is how we heard the hadith of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we got received this hadith from the Prophet alayhi salam. So the Shaykh said, you know, jihad is a part of Islam, but we are not that we are people whom that we are, might say that we are weak toward jihad, or we have a dislike toward jihad, or that we have any attitude toward jihad. Jihad is a part of Islam, but we have to mention that there's conditions and there's guidelines and principles regarding jihad. So jihad is from Islam. Jihad is a part of Islam with its condition. And also we have to say that anyone who disregard jihad as a part of Islam, then that person have done wrong. This person have done wrong to disregard jihad as being a part of Islam. So jihad is a part of Islam, but also it has principles and guidelines that has to be understood.
والقتال والقوة ليس فقط مرتبطا بالإسلام، بل كل الدول والنظم والنظريات لها جيوشها وما تدافع به عن أنفسها وما تقوى به في ذاتها. فلا يجوز أن يتخذ من نظام الجهاد في الإسلام وسلوك بعض الناس الخاطئ لهذا النظام سبيلا للطعن في الإسلام. هذه قضية أصلية مهمة يجب أن تفهم.
Concerning qital, the Sheikh mentioned concerning qital, which means fighting, concerning that requires strength and preparation. So concerning this, that it is not these things of the person being prepared and having strength, that is not something which is limited only to Islam. That each state, each country, each system that they are, that they have their own way of preparation and their own system. So each country, they have their own army, they have their own ways of getting their arms. Then I got cut off. Everybody find that out? Hey, some, the way that jihad is approached by some.
لا يجوز أن نتخذ السلوك الخاطئ لبعض الناس وبعض الجهات في قيامهم بالجهاد على وجه غير حق سبيلا نسقط به الجهاد أو نتشكك به في الجهاد الذي أمر الله تعالى به ضمن الضوابط الشرعية والأصول المرعية.
Okay, well, so what the Sheikh is concerned that it is not permissible that due to, or you might find that some people today may approach the affairs of jihad where they use the approach in a way which is incorrect. They approach jihad in a way which is incorrect. So a person who sees this approach is incorrect, we should not use this as a way to justify or to attack jihad. We should not, because of people making errors in how they approach jihad, we the Muslims should not somewhat start to deny and to belittle concerning jihad in Islam.
لذلك الحقيقة موضوع الجهاد يعني موضوع له ذيول وفروع وأسس كثيرة، لكن الحاجة ماسة لشرح بعض منه ولو على وجه القلة. رب العالمين عندما ذكر الجهاد وأمر بالقتال علله بماذا؟ قال حتى لا تكون فتنة ويكون الدين كله لله. ربط بين عدم قيام ووقوع فتنة وبين أن يكون الدين كله لله. إذن الجهاد في الإسلام جهاد لحماية الدين ولرفع راية الدين، وليس قتالا توسعيا استعماريا من أجل النفط ومن أجل المال ومن أجل توسيع رقعة البلاد والأموال. لا، ليس الجهاد في الإسلام هكذا. الجهاد في الإسلام شرعه الله ردا للفتنة ونصرة للدين.
إذن شيخ mentioned concerning this aspect. Okay, we will just model first. Concerning the Sheikh mentioned concerning jihad that is something of a topic of great importance, and because of its importance, we wish to just mention something brief regarding this. That jihad concerning Islam, which is commanding Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He attached jihad with certain things, with certain conditions. So there are certain things attached to jihad, whereas there are certain reasons of jihad and its purpose, and that of the things of the matter, where Allah mentioned concerning jihad, we mentioned that there should not be fitna, and that the religion is for purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the thing that concerning jihad is that it is there to remove fitna. Jihad is there to remove fitna trials, and also it is there to preserve and protect Islam, to preserve this religion. So jihad is not just for the purpose of gathering wealth, what's the word you think? And to verse, you know, to preserve and to gain oil and all these things. So jihad is not there for just amassing wealth and taking over state and to gain control of oil fields and oil wells, but jihad, it served a purpose. So jihad in Islam, that it was legislated so as to remove fitna, to put away with fitna, and also to strengthen the deen of Islam.
ولنضرب مثلا على الجهاد بصورتين أو في صورتين، صورة معاصرة حاضرة وصورة معاصرة ماضية وغابرة. الصورة الماضية الغابرة صورة مشرقة، عندما احتل الفرنسيون بلاد المغرب العربي وقام المسلمون الجزائريون بمجاهدة هؤلاء المحتلين والمستعمرين، وكان قوادهم والمحركون للجهاد معهم هم العلماء، الشيخ عبد الحميد بن باديس والشيخ محمد البشير الإبراهيمي والمبارك الميلي وغيرهم من أهل العلم من أهل السنة الذين عرفوا أحكام الجهاد وضوابطه وأصوله وشروطه، فقامت الأمة كلها معهم، وكان نتيجة هذا الجهاد نصرة المسلمين ورد المستعمرين ونقض هؤلاء المعتدين. هذه صورة مشرقة، حتى المعتدون والمستعمرون أنفسهم عندما انفض القتال وذهب كل بحال سبيله اعترفوا بخطأ أنفسهم، وإن لم يكن اعترافا صريحا، وأقروا بشجاعة وبسالة وقوة وانضباط هؤلاء المسلمين. هذه صورة مشرقة ومضيئة من صور الجهاد الإسلامي الحق بضوابطه وبأصوله، لا بمجرد الحماسات والانفعالات والعواطف التي قد تسيء أكثر مما تحسن وتفسد أكثر، لأنها لا تضبط الأمور بجوانبها. نعم.
Then Sheikh said, as for now, he gave like a few examples, two examples concerning jihad, examples of jihad that have occurred. I said he gave two examples, two pictures concerning this. One which is of the past, which is somewhat dull. What's the word to use? One which is something that, you know, we can praise and admire, something we can admire. Kufi, come, you're an Englishman. The one that we can admire. And then as for this one that we can admire concern, that is, well, one that took place where concerning with the French, that one concern the past and that have gone, and also one that is more recent that you'll give, discuss this one. As for the one that have passed that we can somewhat admire, is concerning when the French wish to colonize Maghreb and North Africa, that region, and also Algeria and those places, that you find that when they came to take over those places, that the people who somewhat were behind the Muslim going out and fight these people and facing them, and the one who was the people who were behind the jihad, the Muslim, were the people of the ulama. So the ulama of that time in that area of Maghreb and those places, they were the people who were the ones behind the jihad. And Sheikh mentioned concerning some of the ulama who were the ones who were helping, encouraging the people to face those enemies. And he mentioned the name of Ahulama Sheikh Ibn Badri,
Sheikh al-Bashir al-Ibrahimi.
Hey, so he mentioned some name of some of the Mashaykh of that time that were known, of Ahl Sunnah. So they were the ones who were behind the jihad, and those were the people of Ahl al-Ilm, and they had the understanding concerning the ahkam, the rules of jihad, and the guideline that one should stay within. So that jihad, it had the ulama of the Sunnah were with them, and due to because the ulama was a part of it, and they were the ones who were behind it, that you find that the Ummah, the Muslim nation, that they all supported them, and that, you know, everyone was behind that jihad because the ulama was with it, and due to it, that eventually when those people were forced to leave those lands, that and the French and those people they left, that they even themselves, those French who came to colonize them, when they left, that even they said they acknowledge and admitted that when they found with that jihad of the Muslim, who they say that those people were known for their bravery, they were known for their strength, and that they had things somewhat organized and structured. So it shows that, you know, from this jihad of the past, where it is something that we can admire, and this is because that jihad was established with the ulama, and was established with its principles and its guidelines as outlined by Islam, not jihad that we sometimes find where it is just this jihad, it is based upon emotions, and this type of jihad, it usually carries with it more harm than benefit. So this is not the jihad that it is somewhat structured by the principles of jihad in Islam.
وأما الصورة المعاصرة الحاضرة صورة أنفار من المسلمين هنا وهناك، لا نتكلم عن نواياهم، فنواياهم بينهم وبين ربهم، وإن كانت النية الحسنة على فرض وجودها لا تشفع لصاحبها أن يكون عمله الفاسد حسنا. لذلك عندما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إنما الأعمال بالنيات، ماذا كان شرح أهل العلم له؟ إنما الأعمال الصالحة بالنيات الصالحة، ليس إنما الأعمال الفاسدة بالنيات الصالحة، أو إنما الأعمال الفاسدة بالنيات الفاسدة، لا، إنما الأعمال الصالحة بالنيات الصالحة. فنرى أنفارا من المسلمين اليوم في بلاد المسلمين فضلا عن غير بلاد المسلمين يقومون بما يتخيلونه جهادا، يقتلون ويفجرون ويدمرون وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. لقد أوذي المسلمون في بلاد الإسلام أكثر مما أوذي غير المسلمين في غير بلاد الإسلام، فاكتوى أهل الإسلام بنار هؤلاء الجهلة أكثر مما اكتوى غير المسلمين بنارهم. وللأسف الشديد هذا لا يمكن أن يكون جهادا، لأنه يقوم على غير ضوابط وعلى غير أسس وبغير توجيهات العلماء ولا أهل الاختصاص، يقوم على معنى الاعتداء بالابتداء، وهو ما نهى الله عنه صراحة في كتابه العزيز. ماذا يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن الكريم؟ وقاتلوا في سبيل الله الذين يقاتلونكم ولا تعتدوا. أين هؤلاء من هذا النص القرآني الواضح الجلي البين؟ هؤلاء يعتدون، ويترتب على اعتدائهم من المفاسد الكثير الكثير، فهم وقعوا في ضلالتين وتلبسوا بمصيبتين، مصيبة مخالفة الأمر ومصيبة ما ترتب عليه من فساد أكثر وأكثر.
Hey, let's go to this one. Hey, Bismillah, concerning.
لا حول ولا قوة
إلا بالله. لا، الحمد لله اليوم. Concerning though the second feature concerning jihad of more of a contemporary form of jihad that we find today, is this type of jihad we find today here and there that is being done here and there, and that you might find that some of these jihad concerning that you might find some of the people who might be involved in some of those jihad, whether it is something which is valid or not, that's a different point. Concern that you find that those people who are involved in this jihad, that they go about, they have good intent concerning this jihad, but the action bring about certain evil that goes with it. And the Prophet mentioned hadith concerning that actions are by intent. So you find that the ulama have explained the concern in action, that the action must be solid, also with a person having good intent. So the person might be having good intent, but his action is evil, then it doesn't per se fall in line. So the person must combine between having good intent and carrying out that action in the proper way. So having good intent and doing action improper, then that does not bring about per se any great benefit. So what we have seen today, and what we are seeing today, concerning of these jihad that is being done here and there, whether it is in the land of the Muslim or elsewhere, that we find that that these people believe that what they are doing, that it will, they think that what they are doing is something of benefit, but instead it brings more harm than benefit. That the harm that is attached to what they are doing, it brings more evil, more harm to the Muslim in the Muslim land and outside the Muslim land, and even more harm to the Muslim within the Muslim lands. So, and this is because these jihad that is being done by these people, that it is done not upon principles of Islam. That is not done upon the principle of Islam, so it brings about more harm, so there is no dawab, there is no principles that is attached to it. Also the guides of Islam is not being followed. Also the ulama of Islam are not supporting these, and also not giving the okay for these jihad. So instead though, what it does, what you find in these jihad, is that it brings oppression, more so oppression and harm to all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his book by saying that you should fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the English rendering, that you should fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala those that fight you, and that you should not go beyond your bounds. You should not go beyond your bounds. So you find these that these people, that they go beyond the boundaries, they go beyond the limits that is set by Islam. So with this, it comes with evil. And with this, the Shaykh mentioned, it comes with many evil. Evil that, the evil of what they involve, and also other evil that is built upon it, where the Muslim now are somewhat being pressured and forced, like we say, in a corner due to this type of jihad that is being done that is not within the guidelines of Islam.
وهذا يؤكد إخواني أن القتال في الإسلام والجهاد في الإسلام لغير المسلمين ليس مقصودا لذاته، وإنما مقصوده ما يترتب عليه من مصالح وما يترتب عليه من اجتناب المفاسد. فهذه السلوكيات الفردية التي تحدث هنا وهنالك وهناك يظن أنها من الجهاد، ثم يترتب عليها ما يترتب من صور الفساد، هذه لا يمكن أن تكون دينا ولا يمكن أن تمثل الإسلام الحق، للأسباب التي ذكرتها وأشرت إليها، وأعظمها سببان: السبب الأول مخالفة النص، والسبب الثاني ترتب المفاسد، وسبب ثالث يضاف وهو مخالفة توجيهات العلماء الذين هم أدرى الناس بمصالح الأمة وبما ينفعها في حاضرها ومستقبلها.
Then Sheikh mentioned concerning, just to mention that, to strengthen this point concerning jihad Islam, that it is against non-Muslim, that it is therefore say not meant as for its own purpose, but for the about what is meant behind jihad is concerning the benefit that comes with it. And as for these jihad that you find here and there that is being done, and it is not basically from the within the guidelines of Islam, of the picture of Islam concerning proper jihad, that that is not per se within Islamic realms, Islamic principles, and also layakun ad-deen, and that these type of jihad that is being done here and there without Islamic guidelines, then this is not from Islam, and this is not a part of the religion, and also it should not be resembled and be considered to be a part of Islam, or it should be considered as representing Islam. And as the Shaykh, he mentioned that these jihad that is being done here and there, that he had mentioned, there's two main reasons why it is not within the Islamic guidelines. Is that one, that these type of jihad, it goes against the text that should be followed. These jihad that are being done, that they go outside the text, the proofs of Islam that should be followed. And second, also, that is the evil that is attached to these type of jihad, the great evils that is attached to these type of jihad that is being done here and there. And also, you could add a third point, a third reason, that also you find that these people, they go away, they do not take to the advice and the recommendation that is given by the ulama. So they leave away the recommendation and advice of the ulama regarding jihad, and so they fall into error. So jihad, it needs the ulama to be involved and to give their guidelines and their direction regarding this matter.
هذا شيء من التطويل لمسألة تحتاج إلى ما هو أكثر من ذلك، لكن لعل ما ذكرتها هنا الآن فيه فائدة إن شاء الله. نرجع إلى المفاسد الراجحة. ذكرنا المصالح الراجحة وقابلناها بالمفاسد الخالصة، ثم ذكرنا المصالح الراجحة، والآن نقابلها بالمفاسد الراجحة. من المفاسد الراجحة التي نهى عنها الشرع الخمر والميسر، القمار. ماذا يقول الله تبارك وتعالى؟ يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر، قل فيهما إثم كبير ومنافع للناس، وإثمهما أكبر من نفعهما. إذن لأن الإثم أرجح جاء النهي. هل يجوز لأحد أن يقول طالما أن فيهما منافع وشيء من المصالح إذن نجيزها؟ لا يجوز هذا لا عقلا ولا نقلا. يعني لو أن طبيبا وصف لك دواء قال لك هذا الدواء ينفعك لكن فيه ضرر، تسأله ما نسبة الضرر؟ يقول لك نسبة الضرر 80%. هل يرضى أحد أن يشربه؟ لا يرضى أحد أن يشربه. طب إذا كان العكس يقول لك هذا دواء فيه نفع 80% لكن فيه كما يقال في لغة الطب والصيدلة فيه أضرار وآثار جانبية بنحو 20%، الكل يقبل، يقول لأن ما سيصلح أو ما سيصلح بدني سيكون هو الأكثر. إذن قاعدة المصلحة والمفسدة وإن كانت قواعد شرعية لكنها تأتلف مع العقل وتلتقي معه. لذلك ألف الإمام ابن تيمية رحمه الله كتابا سماه درء تعارض العقل والنقل، لا تعارض بين العقل الصريح والنقل الصحيح. ولهذا الكتاب اسم آخر سماه موافقة صحيح المنقول لصريح المعقول، المعقول الصريح الواضح. هنالك معقول ليس صريحا، هذا المعقول غير الصريح لا يجوز أن نضرب به نص القرآن والسنة، لكن المعقول الصريح الواضح لا يتعارض أبدا مع النصوص المنقولة الصحيحة عن النبي وعن كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى، وكله بداهة صحيح.
And the Sheikh continued by mentioning concerning going back to the what we're concerned that the affairs concerning jihad that he can go into detail, but we won't we'll not go into further detail. But we go back to the point that we're discussing concerning these mafasid, that is as these mafasid, which is the majority, as we have outlined before concerning. I give example concerning those masala, which is Raja. Now we give the opposite of this, which is those Masala, which is majority. And concerning those Mafasid, sorry, those Mafasid, those Eva, that is of majority, carries a majority Mafasid, that concerning of example of this can be Khamar, concerning alcohol and gambling. So these are the things of evils that have a majority evil that is connected to it, but there is some degree of benefit. And it is mentioned in the book of Allah Ta'ala where the English renderings, Ishtahai again, that they ask concerning al-khamr, well, makes khamr, well, gambling, and they ask, there's too many people. They ask concerning khamr and gambling. And that, in general, mentioned that it's there's the ism that's attached to it, it is more, even though there is some benefit which is attached to it. But the sin and the evil that's attached to it, it is the majority. So based upon this, the Shaykh mentioned that with khamr and gambling, that there's some degree of benefit that's attached to it, but the evil that's attached to it, it is the majority. And with this, that, so it is, if you were to find a person who might come and say, okay, because there is some degree of benefit that is mentioned, that is attached to alcohol and gambling, can a person benefit from the Shaykh said, no, we cannot say this, because the evil that's attached to it is the most and the majority. So the person, this is not to be done. So you might find that even with medicine, you might find, for example, with some type of medicine, a person might say with his medicine, that if a person was the majority, this medicine, if the majority over 90% of it is evil, would a person take it? No. And likewise, if a person not with the medicine, the more the majority, a great possibility is that there is more benefit. But as they say, sometimes there are some side effects that may go with it. So the majority of benefit in taking the medicine is there. But there are some degree of side effects that is attached to it, which is a negative thing. But still, the person is still benefit from that medication. So the person look to what is the more concerning the benefit that is attached to it, and he uses it. Then Shaykh mentioned concerning that also you might find also with certain people in their intellect that something might have certain type of ta'arud, some type of conflict, that there may be some type of conflict regarding certain things. The person might use his intellect to measure certain things, and due to the find from the ulama such as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, that he have written a book that is called Shaykh al-Islam of Dr. Aoud.
Hey,
what about concerning the conflict between textual proof and intellectual proof to that degree of meaning? And also some of the ulama mentioned that the same book, it has a different title concerning with that meaning. So you find that the human intellect sometimes may clash, but the Shaykh he mentioned generally concerning that the sound intellect, a person whose intellect is sound and balanced, that it will not go in conflict with text, meaning from go into a conflict with the book and the sunnah, but in general all of them are valid. All are valid.
وكما ذكرت أيها الإخوة فإن بعض العلماء جعل هذه القاعدة الأولى هي الأولى والأخيرة وبالتالي فصل عليها من المسائل ومن الأحكام الشيء الكثير وأنا لا أستطيع أن يعني أطول في القول في هذه القاعدة كثيرا وأن أذكر تفصيلاتها ومراتبها وأوجه التعارض بين درجاتها وما أشبه مما ذكره العلماء ولكن أختم بجزئية أنا أعتبرها من أهم الجزئيات لفهم هذه القاعدة وهي مسألة تزاحم المصالح والمفاسد. عندنا مصلحة وعندنا مفسدة. إذا أقمنا هذه المصلحة قد يترتب عليها من المفسدة ما هو أكبر، فماذا نفعل؟ يوجد في هذا الباب للعلماء كثير من الكلام. أكتفي بذكر كلمتين مهمتين ولهما موضعهما الأعلى من واقعنا الذي نحن فيه، وبخاصة في مسألة القتال والجهاد التي أشرت إليها.
Hey, so regarding this, the Sheikh he mentioned regarding this principle concerning bringing about, trying to that Islamic law is there to bring about those things which is beneficial and to remove those things which is harmful and evil. Concerning this, some of the ulama have written concerning this and they have gone into detail, and even some of the ulama have gone to the extent where they have made this particular qaida, this particular principle, to be the first and the last of all principles, as mentioned before. So some of the ulama, they hold it as to be the main principles of Islamic Sharia. And the Shaykh, he mentioned that, you know, as for himself, there's no need per se for him to go into in-depth discussion regarding it, as to adding things and here and there regarding this. But what he'll try to come to an end regarding this, what he'll try to end or come to an end, is that he'll try to discuss concerning certain aspect of this qaida, this principle, so that one can properly understand this qaida. And of those, the ulama discusses concerning, and they go into details regarding, if there's like a crowding, tazahum, there's a crowding. Joining of both concerning benefit and the evil. If there's a joining between both, then what is the person, what's the way out concerning this? So there's a long discussion between the ulama regarding this. There's some discussion regarding this, but the Shaykh said he would particularly discuss this, mention it, and he more so stick to a matter, matters relating to things concerning qital and affairs of jihad regarding explaining this qaida.
يعني إذا قمنا هذه المصلحة قد يترتب عليها مفسدة.
أي. So if we were to fulfill, the Shaykh may have added that if we were to carry out this particular thing and try to attain this masla, then there might be some evil that may be attached to it. So what should be done? What should be done in such a situation?
أما المثل الأول فهو ما ذكره الإمام ابن قيم الجوزية في كتابه إعلام الواقعين، أنه سأل شيخه شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية لما غزا التتار بلاد الشام، قال: يا أبا العباس، وهذه كنية شيخ الإسلام تيمية، يا أبا العباس، إن التتار يشربون الخمر ويسكرون أفلا ننهاهم؟ يعني الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر مصلحة، فهو يراهم في الطرقات يسكرون ويخمرون أفلا ننهاهم؟ فنظر شيخ الإسلام تيمية نظرة بعيدة، قال لا تنههم، لا تنههم. لماذا؟ قال لأنك إذا نهيتهم صحوا، فإذا صحوا قتلوا المسلمين، فدعهم وخمرهم وسكرهم حتى يكتفي أو حتى يكفى المسلمون شرهم. انظروا النظر في العواقب والمآلات والمصالح، مع أن إبقاء أصحاب السكر على سكرهم مفسدة، وأن أمرهم بالمعروف ونهيهم عن المنكر مصلحة، لكن نظر شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله تجاوز جزئية المصلحة بحد ذاتها وجزئية المفسدة بحد ذاتها لينظر إلى عواقبها وآثارها. لذلك قال العلماء، ورأيت لبعض المعاصرين كتابا كاملا في هذه الجزئية، النظر إنما يكون في مآلات الأفعال. إيش يعني في مآلات الأفعال؟ أي النتائج التي تنتج عن هذا الفعل أو ذاك الفعل، لا ينظر إلى الفعل مجردا، وإنما ينظر إليه بنتائجه ومآلاته وثمراته.
Then the Sheikh said, as for given this example concerning, if we put aside this situation that we had mentioned, he said, as for this example, the first example of this is concerning what has been mentioned by Ibn Qayyim in his book, Alam Waqeen, where he discussed concerning in this book, he mentioned a situation that occurred that he had asked his Sheikh, who is Sheikh al Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, regarding a case where the Tatar, that they are the ones who had, attacked the Muslim lands. And so he asked his Sheikh, who is Abu Abbas, who is Sheikh al-Islam, he asked that, you know, we see the Tatar, that they are drinking alcohol and doing these things. Should we stop them from drinking alcohol? So we see them in the street, we see them in the alleyway, that they are drinking wine. And they are being so should we stop them, prohibit them from drinking this alcohol? So this was a question that was posed to Sheikh al-Islam by Ibn Qayyim. So he said that Sheikh al-Islam looking far ahead. So this is within the encouraging good and forbidding evil, a part of Islam. But Sheikh al-Islam responded by saying that we should not, do not forbid them, do not stop them from drinking their alcohol. Because if these people, the Tatar then, if you block them, stop them from drinking alcohol, and they are now awake and alert, then they will bring more evil upon the Muslim. Right? And meaning that they will kill the Muslim and all that. So leave them, drink the alcohol, be drunk, and the Muslim will be more safe with this. So he stopped, told them not to stop them from drinking their alcohol, as the Muslim would be safe and preserved from their evil due to them drinking of their alcohol. So he said the Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he was looking like ahead, as we say in English, looking ahead, far ahead, where he was looking concerning the benefit that will be reaped for a Muslim in this particular thing. So even though, yes, drinking alcohol is something which is forbidden, but the benefit that comes with this, the benefit of not stopping them for the Muslim, the benefit is more greater in this particular circumstances. So sometimes it needs to look, as mentioned, she mentioned that, looking for the far-reaching result that will come with this. Now, looking for the result that will come with the act. So in certain cases, it's not per se looking at the act itself, but the result that will come by way of the act. And due to this particular case or issue that the Sheikh mentioned, there's someone who's of a mu'asir, someone who's of the contemporary time of our time. I've written a book regarding this. I've written an old book, complete book regarding this particular thing, where the person generally, the book is about concerning, not per se of an act, looking at the act, but also the result and the benefit that will come by way of that act, which is something one has to look at regarding this thing of masala wal masada.
وأما المثل الثاني فهو من كلام العلامة عز الدين ابن عبد السلام في كتابه قواعد الأحكام في مصالح الأنام، وهو الكتاب الذي ذكرت أنه بناه كله، وهو الكتاب في مجلدين، بنى الكتاب كله على قاعدة واحدة، هي هذه القاعدة التي نحن بصددها، أن الشرع إنما يأمر بالمصالح خالصها وراجحها، وينهى عن المفاسد خالصها وراجحها. كل الشرع كذلك، كل الشرع كذلك. يقول العز بن عبد السلام في قواعد الأحكام تحت فصل ذكره، قال عنوان الفصل: الأفعال المشتملة، الأفعال المشتملة على المصالح والمفاسد مع رجحان مصالحها على مفاسدها. إذن عندنا بعض الأفعال تشتمل على مصلحة ومفسدة، وإذا نظرنا رأينا أن المصلحة أرجح من المفسدة. ذكر على هذا الفصل 63 مثلا، 63 مثلا كان مما قاله. يقول: التولي يوم الزحف كبيرة. التولي يوم الزحف أي الهروب من ساحة القتال وترك المسلمين يقاتلون، المسلمون يقاتلون، يأتي واحد من المجاهدين يترك هؤلاء ويهرب، هذا اسمه التولي يوم الزحف، وهو من السبع الموبقات ومن الكبائر. قال: لكنه واجب، الله أكبر، كبيرة وموبقة، لكنه واجب في بعض الحالات. ما هي؟ قال: لكنه واجب إذا علم أنه يقتل من غير نكاية في الكفار. إذا كان هنالك فرار يوم الزحف مبني هذا الفرار على النظر أنه لا مصلحة ولا أثر ولا فائدة من مقاتلة الكفار، بالعكس قد يكون هذا إضعافا للمسلمين وتقوية للكافرين، حينئذ يكون التولي يوم الزحف واجبا. قال: لأن التغرير بالنفوس، يعني الإقدام والمواجهة مع الأعداء، لأن التغرير بالنفوس إنما جاز أصلا، أصلا جاز لماذا؟ لما فيه من مصلحة إعزاز الدين بالنكاية في المشركين. أصلا لماذا يجوز أن تقاتل ولو قتلت؟ بسبب ما يغلب على الظن ويترجح عند أهل العلم والجهاد أن الدين سينتصر، وأن الكفار والمشركين من المعتدين سيهزمون ويخذلون. قال: فإن لم تحصل النكاية وجب الانهزام، فإن لم تحصل النكاية وجب الانهزام. إذن هذه نظرة عقلية نقلية مبنية على ترجيح المصلحة ودفع المفسدة عند تزاحم المصلحة والمفسدة. عندنا مصلحة الجهاد وعندنا مفسدة التولي يوم الزحف. ماذا نرجح من هذه وتلك؟ نرجح ما يغلب على الظن من الأثر ومن النتيجة. فإذا كانت النتيجة والأثر يغلب على الظن أن فيها نصرة وعزة ونكاية بالكفار فنثبت، وإذا غلب على الظن أن فيها ضعفا وفيها هوانا وفيها قوة للمشركين بتقتيل المسلمين، حينئذ يكون الانهزام واجبا، ويكون التولي يوم الزحف الذي هو كبيرة في بعض الأحيان يكون واجبا في أحيان أخرى. هذا هو الفقه الذي أكاد أجزم لو سمعه بعض المتحمسين العاطفيين الذين ليسوا على علم ولا على فقه ولا على دراية، وإنما عقولهم بأنافهم لا برؤوسهم، فإنهم سينكرون ذلك. ولن يقبلوه وسيشككون بالقائل له أو الناقل إياه. ولو عرفوا أن قائله إمام من أئمة أهل العلم وأصولي من علماء أهل الأصول لسكتوا، لكنهم لا يعرفون الحق ولا يضبطون أصوله بصدق. وفي هذا القدر كفاية، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. والقاعدة الثانية في هذا الباب في الدرس القادم إن شاء الله قاعدة الوسائل لها أحكام المقاصد، وما لا يتم الواجب إلا به فهو واجب. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبي الله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه
أجمعين. And then concerning this particular example that he, the second example that he mentioned, the second example that is given is concerning what is mentioned by is Ibn Abi Salam, so one of the ulama of Islam, who have written concerning Qawaid al-Fiqhiyya. And Shaykh, he mentioned that before we had mentioned that Ibn Abi Salam is of those ulama who have written a book regarding these principles of Qawaid al-Fiqhiyya, and this book called Qawaid al-Ahkam fi Masal al-Anam, of this meaning. And this book, it is mainly based upon this particular qaida that concerns that Islam is there to bring about those things which is beneficial and to remove those things that are harmful. And from this, the Shaykh, he mentioned that the Shaykh, he somewhat mentioned that the Sharia, Islamic law legislation, is there generally to encourage those things which are benefit, whether they are things, those things of Masa which is beneficial, whether those things are 100% beneficial or in the majority. And likewise, the Sharia is there forbids those things that arm is attached to it, whether these arm that is attached to it, they are things which is 100% or in the majority. And then the Shaykh, he mentioned that Ibn Izzi mentioned his book, that he had mentioned his book where he had discussed these things. We mentioned that Apostle, one of these a particular chapter of the book where he mentioned that concerning if an act, if the actions that they consist, they include both those things which is of benefit and those things which is harmful. So action, it does include certain things with a certain degree of benefit that is attached to it, and also some degree of harm that is attached to it. What is to be done in such cases? Then he mentioned that that we might see that these actions that may consist of these things. And he mentioned that Ibn Salah mentioned that there's over concerned that he mentioned over 63 examples of this, over 63 examples of this. And from amongst that he mentioned regarding this, he says of one, a case concerning an example of this is the case regarding a person who runs away from the battle. What do you call it in English, one word? And a person fleeing away from the battle. So if a person will find a situation where fleeing from the battlefield, it is something which is haram. It is something which is haram in Islam, to flee away from the battle. And this constitutes one of the major sins for a Muslim to flee away from the battlefield. So this is the Muslim facing the kuffar, the enemies, and you are facing them. Then a person decides to run away from the battle. So this is something which is constitutes one of the, amongst the seven destructive sins, major sins. Then the Shaykh, he mentioned that the author that we mentioned is Ibn Abi Salam, mentioned concerning that in certain cases there may be instances that fleeing from a battlefield is considered as wajib. Then he started to explain why this is. And from what we can recall, he mentioned a case where in general, if the person believes that facing the enemies, right, that there will not be much benefit standing to face the enemies. Now, you don't have enough strength. Also, the kuffar are going to totally destroy you if you were to face them. So there's not much benefit in facing them in this particular instance. Right? And also the Muslim will not also gain any benefit from you being there or facing them. So you facing them, you're going to just be crushed. Now, and you're not being, if you're there still, the Muslim will not benefit from this. So there's not much benefit from you per se being there. So you say in this particular instance, because the benefit, weighing out the benefit, is not much, you facing them. In this case, or in an instance like this, it may be wajib for you to flee back or to come back on your, to leave them. Right? So that is one of those cases regarding this. What's the second? Then he mentioned another case, maybe another instance, maybe a case regarding the person of facing the enemies, facing personally the enemies, and face enemies is to someone, the Muslim in this case is to show strength and to block them and to stop them. So in this case, and the person believe in ghalabat al-dhan, most likely cases that you're able to can deal with them. So the person believe that, you know, being there, that there may be some benefit that can be gained, and the person can somewhat, they can face them. So to flee in this instant, in this particular case, will not be something to be done, because the person believe that most likely with that they can be dealt with. So that will not be the case. The person would flee back from. So the Sheikh said, in summary, it goes back concerning these instances, concerning the person, look concerning the case regarding either the person believe that most likely if the person stand there to face the enemies, it will not make much difference. So in that case, it is permissible, it is wajib maybe, that a person should flee, because staying there will not be of great benefit. And the second instance, the person believes that most likely would is that they can face them and deal with them, then the person should remain in the battlefield. So it goes back to looking at thing and see what is more beneficial to be done. Then the Sheikh, he says, regarding this, just the Sheikh added that if some of the people who today who are into this jihad thing based upon no principles, that these people who based upon mere emotions, if this what was read, if they were to read what was mentioned by Allama Ibn Abdul Salam, what if they were to read this or to hear about this, that they would reject this. Coming back from the archer. So if this information was to be told to them or read to them, or if they come to know this information, that if they would refute this and they will reject it and they will not accept it. But if they were to know this coming from an imam that is trustworthy and known and established, then it will be a different case. But their first response will be to reject this, not knowing that this statement is coming from a person who is known and a specialist in this field and an imam. So this is because their approach to jihad is based upon emotion and just responding and their so-called intellect. So this is regarding this. So these things need to be studied, understood, and based upon the person must use concerning Islamic principles and also sound intellect based upon Islamic teachings to measure these situations. So the Sheikh said, with this we'll come to an end, and regarding this principle and what can be said regarding this principle. And in the next lesson, which will be Monday, not tomorrow, as there's a break tomorrow for the brothers and the lesson. So the next lesson that he will discuss another principle concerning that, and of the principle that will be discussed, of the other kind that will be principle concerning that, things of wasail would be means carry the rulings of wasail of the things attached to it. That will be explained more in detail. So means and those those things that does not complete how to put it in English? That which does not complete a. No, I'm putting the phrase. How to phrase in English? Ma la yatim al wajib. That which does not complete a wajib, and it is attached to it. It is no wajib. They all know wajib. A wajib or compulsory. So, if for something to complete a wajib, then it will become wajib. That's the best that I can do. Now, so something can take the rukum of being wajib because it will perfect a wajib. That's. So we'll try to find the English phrase for that phrase. Bismillah. By then.